This is Daylight Magazine, coming to you from Adventist World Radio Ghana, the voice of hope.
AWR Ghana, voice of hope.
Today's Daylight Magazine has segments designed with you in mind. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we
dries up the rivers and the leaves hang limp and dry. All the creek beds cracked and broken and the aspen starts to die. When my soul is dry and barren, panting for the Spirit's rain, so depleted, weak and empty, every resource used and drained. The rains come, oh, the rains come, gentle streams flow down the mountainside, filling rivers, rushing
Nuggets is captioned Temple of Justice. Temple of Justice. Deep within the human heart is a yearning to worship at the Temple of Justice. It's a longing for the day when truth will at last triumph, when unresolved mysteries will be finally solved, and when all wrongs will be fully made right. Carved in time, the Temple of Justice is when each of us shall give account of himself to God for every selfish act we've done, every wrong word we've spoken or written, every hasty judgment we've made, and every evil thought and motives we've cherished. This can be found in Romans chapter 14, verse 12. Also, for every unfulfilled duty, neglected warnings, unimproved opportunities, and misused talent, funds, time, and influence, we who sigh because of injustice, must seek refuge in God's temple of justice. For on that day of judgment, none, and I repeat, none, shall escape the irrevocable verdict of the ultimate judge. This is written by Dr. Samuel Corantin Pipim. And for more nuggets by Dr. Pipim, you can visit eaglesonline.org and then click on Weekly Thought Nuggets. I am your presenter, Margaret Abebrese, and thank you for listening.
Be true, be true. That is my word for you this moment, be true. Turn with me once again to the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It reads, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." I read it again. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It reads, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Dear friend, the power of prayer does not lie in its frequency or length, but in its honesty and humility. Humble yourself before the Lord, and surely He will indeed lift you up. Be true, be true. God bless you. I am Belle Dollabill.
Cherished listener, brace yourself as we bring to you a continuation of the discussion. Wills.
Welcome back to your show, Radio Lawyer. We are joined by a resource person. Welcome, Mr. Ansa.
Thank you, Nat.
Now, let's also look at the situation where the person dies with just a house, no spouse, no child.
Well, if the person dies and at the time of the death, he had personally acquired a house and he didn't have a spouse or a child, the devolution provided under the law, 50% to a surviving parent or parents, if any, and 50% to the customary family, usually the customary successor. Maybe let me briefly walk us through some of the scenarios.
The scenarios, yes.
The law gives a lot of fractions on roughly how things should be shared. That is actually one of the difficulties with the current provisions of the interstate succession law. So if a person died and at the time of the death he had a spouse or spouses or a child or children, then the law says that, as we've already discussed, the household chattels go to the nuclear family. Again, if the man had only one dwelling house, that also goes to the nuclear family.
So that's a situation where he dies with spouse and a child or children.
Yes.
Okay.
Either only a spouse or only a child or children, or both spouse
and children
and a child. Yes. Yeah. In that case, then the nuclear family comprising the spouse and the child or children automatically inherit household chattels and that one house, irrespective of the size, used as a dwelling house by the deceased. if the person who has died intestate, under the circumstances we have just described, survived by spouse and a child or children, had several houses,
yes,
then besides the household chattels, the nuclear family has right under the law to choose one of the houses first out of the estate as a provision for their dwelling, home or accommodation.
Okay.
It is the remainder which will now be shared in the following fractions.
Yes. Okay.
Whatever remains outside of the household chattels and the one house selected by the nuclear family, the remainder will be shared in the following proportions. 3/16 3/16 of the estate goes to the surviving spouse.
Okay.
9/16
Okay, so 3/16
It means that if you divided the remainder of the estate into 16 equal parts.
Okay.
The surviving spouse has a share of 3.
In addition to the dwelling house.
Yes, that one is already taken out. So what remains, if it is apportioned into 16 equal pieces,
yes,
the surviving spouse gets 3.
Out of the 16.
Out of the 16. Mm-hmm. And the surviving child or children gets 9 out of the 16.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So 12 is gone.
12 is gone.
Okay.
Then a surviving parent or parents get, let's say, 1/8, which is also the same as 2/16.
16.
Uh-huh. And the customary family also gets 1/8.
Mm.
So roughly 2/3 under the scenario we have described where there was a surviving spouse and child or children, 2/3 or 12/16 will go to the surviving spouse and the child or children, and then 1/4 will go to the surviving parents and the customary family.
Okay.
That is one scenario.
Scenario, yes.
If the person died, survived by spouse only.
Okay. No children.
No children. Then, besides the household chattels and the one house already given, the remainder will be shared in the following proportions. Half goes to the surviving spouse.
Okay.
1/4 to the surviving parent or parents, and then 1/4 to the customary family.
Okay.
And then if the person was survived by child or children only and no spouse,
yeah,
3/4 to the surviving spouse, 1/8 to the surviving parent, 1/8 to the customary family.
Okay.
And then if the person was survived by parents,
mm-hmm,
no spouse, no child, but parents, then 3/4 to the surviving parent, 1/4 to the customary family. So these are some of the key scenarios one can, and of course, if a person died without a spouse, without a child, without surviving parents, then 100% will go to the customary family. But you would notice that the law here attempts to adjust rights based on the modern thinking as to the prominence now assumed by the nuclear family. The law seems to think that children, irrespective of their age and position in life, must occupy very central position in the devolution of a state. So you would notice that prominence is given to children over surviving spouse.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And increasingly, the customary family is relegated to the background.
Gradually.
If you are looking at it in accordance of importance, the law seems to rank children first, followed by surviving
spouse,
parents,
and then the larger
customary family, clan or whichever. And usually it is the customary successor we are talking about here.
Okay. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll look at a very interesting situation where people who once lived as husband and wife no longer live as husband and wife.
You just listened to a discussion on the topic wills. A continuation will be brought to you later.
For any inquiries or contribution, you can contact us on +233 244 673528 or 0244 235017, or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
Voice of Hope.
My life's in you, my strength's in you, my hope's in you.
Pastor Ebenezer Kwe, and we are looking at the series Hope in the Den. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, as we continue with this presentation, hear us and speak into our lives. Touch every chord of my list. Help him out of the hopeless situation, because there can be hope even in the den. Turn his or her life around today and let him or her become a blessing. For I trust you that you are well able to do it. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. We have been looking at the man Daniel, who was so excellent that his people, his peers in Medo-Persia, couldn't find any fault or error in his life. And we said he believed in God, he belonged to God's people, and he behaved as such. Friends, in Daniel chapter 2, the Bible records that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, which was interpreted by Daniel. In this dream, he saw an image which has a head of gold, chest and arms of silver, waist and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, and toes of clay mixed with iron. The interpretation was that King Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold, and his kingdom, Babylon, was the head of gold. The chest of silver was the kingdom that was to follow. That is Medo-Persia. The bronze was Greece. The leg was Rome. And the 10 feet were the 10 kingdoms that came out as a result of the fall of pagan Rome. Friends, in Daniel 7, he also had a dream which parallels this image of Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 7 verse 1, the Bible says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream telling the main facts. Friends, there is an important lesson to learn from this very verse. Sometimes God gives us dreams. He gives us visions about what will happen in our lives. Do you write it down? All the things God is challenging you to do, you need to write them down. And when you do this, I am sure He is going to bring them to come to pass. In Daniel chapter 7 verse 2 and 3, the Bible continues to say, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. In Bible prophecy, the wind represents strife or war. The sea or water from which the animals came represent population, a densely populated area. And so, all these animals in Daniel chapter 7 that he saw in his dream represent superpowers, powers that are to come. And these powers rose out of the sea because they came out of densely populated areas. In Daniel chapter 7 verse 4, the first of these beasts was like a lion and had eagle's wings. He said, I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And therefore the first beast that he saw was a lion with wings. This looks very, very terrible. In Daniel chapter 7 verse 5, the Bible says, and suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear. It was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. And therefore, the second beast was another beast like a bear with three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. The verse 7 says, after this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. The third beast, according to this text, was another like a leopard with four wings and four heads. Then verse 7, very important to listen to it keenly. Verse 7 says, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. A fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong, with huge iron teeth. Friends, this beast was so terrible that Daniel could not even describe it. Then as we move on, in verse 8, the Bible says, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there, in this horn, were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. This dream was quite terrible. Very, very terrible. That next power was the little horn with human features. The little horn with human features speaking pompous words. In Daniel chapter 7 verse 9 and 10, he said, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fire stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. There are books in heaven in which there are records. We have the book of life. We have the book of iniquity. We have the book of remembrance. Whatever we do on earth here is recorded up there. And therefore, this last verse which we have read, Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, represents a judgment scene. A judgment is going on right now. And friend, I encourage you to continue listening to this presentation. Daniel's vision looks down the ages until the returning of Jesus, when God's children shall be taken to enjoy eternity with him. In the next presentation, we shall be looking at what each of these beasts mean and how we can prepare to stand for the Lord even in these end times. May God bless you as you continue to listen to Moment of Truth. I'm your pastor, Ebenezer Kwe. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you very much for staying with us. Once again, you can reach us on +233-244-673528 or 0244-235-017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595. Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
I believe today's magazine has been a blessing. May the good Lord's hand be in your life. Amen. Remember to tune in same time tomorrow. Bye for now.